jeans. Jeans, you gonna help me do it right.
All right, this guy can stay.
You ever played any games?
You said you have a pen, right?
Yeah.
A pen of some type? I gotta have something to
Are you kidding?
So what do you play?
Check.
Lately it's been SSX, PlayStation 2.
Oh, that's a good intro for... Yeah, he needs a pen.
I just need something
that
to
it was Diablo
fiddle
2.
With.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Before that it was
I'm a fiddler. That's what I do. That and online gaming, I guess. But mainly fiddling.
Just sit down.
Okay, check, check.
He needs mic.
Check, check, okay. All right, here we go.
Hey, they're here.
All right, are we ready to start?
Yes!
So,
okay, I'm Scott Jones. I think I'm still the director of Electronic Frontiers, and Athena wants me to... introduce her. So this is Athena. We've got Nighthawk and Dark Soul. And then we have the fine folks from Crimson Legacy here. And by the way, is that an online game? Does it require an internet connection?
I'm going to tell you
it
all
will,
that.
Yeah.
Okay. So now we know.
So you want a computer with an internet connection to use?
You do.
No, I mean now.
Right now.
No, they have their demo on disk.
We're going to do a demo
yeah.
anyway.
Actually, it'd be nice if you'd show the site, though.
We won't start just yet, though.
Will yeah. We? No, it's.
See,
we're not
going to
start
tutorial.
It now. Just, so just get some
stuff. He'll wink at you just right when it's time to
yeah.
put it in.
All this is
okay, so I just pull
we're
this up.
Yeah.
Hello, everybody. I'm Athena. And I have been called the Pink Athena, which Ultima Online named me. I guess I'm a gamer. Now it's when you all go, whatever they do. Never mind. welcome, Athena. Do what? Oh, yeah, pretty scary, isn't it? Well, I was a beta tester for Ultima, and then I was a beta tester for the second edition and Third Dawn for... Ultima people. I was a beta tester for Diablo 2, for EverQuest, for Asheron's Call. Recently, I was given, but did not have the time to do it, and bought the game that I was supposed to have played it before I came here, but again, didn't have time, for Anarchy Online. I was a beta tester for Microsoft Millennium, and currently doing XP. So, actually, you're all going to be shocked when XP comes out. I'm an avid Microsoft hater, but... Pardon? No, you know what really shocked me is like I was telling some of the guys earlier. I was installing some games and had some issues. And it was like, well, we can't do this. You know, this is my brand new Toshiba. And we can't do this. And I'm like, okay, fine. So we're going to, and the window comes up and says, we're going to mail this in and tell them that you're messing up. And I was like, okay, fine. So I wait, and it sends off three little error things within an hour, because I did three things that it didn't like within an hour. About 3 hours later, I noticed this little button popped up down here. And I'm looking at it, and I click on it, and it goes, oh, you're receiving your patches. Fixed all three errors in the same day. Okay, now I hate Microsoft, but they did that, so it's going to be interesting. Okay. You are going to be very heavily monitored.
See, that's what can't handle about XP.
Right.
XP is a monitoring and. No.
Oh, it monitors everything. It knows everything that's going on. I mean, you can tell that, but the little messages that come up.
Couldn't handle that.
And see, I do an FTP site and.
Right.
A lot of cute stuff going on, but I was really glad I put it on my laptop and didn't do it on my desktop.
That's right.
So, now.
I think they want to hear what you have on your FTP site that's so cute.
Well, let's put it this way, 60 gigs and we're going up. if you're interested, just my email is athena@athena.com, so we can see if, you know. My FTP site would be interesting. It is not nudie pictures. There's no
you just
pictures.
Cut everybody in the room out.
No, there are a lot of other reasons to go to FTP sites.
I think that's a different forum.
No.
There's something different than music, porn, and gaming on the internet? I mean, it has a use?
I didn't say it didn't have music.
Okay. I don't know. I don't know much. I read books. So.
Books are good. I have those, too.
I like paper and pages. And I go to the library. I'm sorry.
My hand's like...
Getting frisky, are you?
I have to remember whose leg to keep my hand
There's
on.
Not many of them in Georgia.
He likes outdated technology is what he's saying.
Where's my well?
track? He's doing real good. In addition to that, I do a lot of technical work. Like sometimes, you know, I'll go work for a company because a buddy of mine says, hey, we need somebody for a couple of weeks or months or whatever. And I do technical support. So just about anything. The last job I worked with was GE, 100%. Everything I touched, I fixed, and I was on the hot escalations and stuff. So if any of you work for GE and you ever worked with Paula Gillespie, that's me. If any of you own a Razer Boomslang 2000 mouse, you ever heard of it? Well, if you ever had to wait for weeks to talk to Athena to get it fixed, that's me. So now you know a little bit about me. I'm a geek. Okay, this is Nighthawk. I've known him for a while. Were we still playing UO? Of course, we were on different shards. He was a PKer, and I was an anti-PKer. So we would have been at war. He now does PvP in Azeron's Call. He's one of the best. And
well, thank you.
Okay, the best. He's going to keep me here. He's also, I'm going to let him tell you, each one, I will let you tell them tell you more specifically. I'm going to give you an overhead, because I'm basically telling them what I want to make sure they include. Richard has, or Nighthawk, if you've ever been killed by Nighthawk on Azeron's Call.
Not me, that other.
No, it would have been him. he's also, if you've ever played Qzar, he's the guy. And he'll give you the specifics. I'm going to let him do his own bragging because he's really, really, really good.
Do we have to give our resume?
Yes.
Okay.
And first we give our credentials, and then we tell our stories, and then they laugh. That's the way it works.
Gotcha.
Okay. Now. Right.
I'll juggle small furry animals or something.
There was a guy with a fuzzy animal here.
Huh?
Right. We got to have blood going here. So what else was it we decided you were going to tell?
I have a rainbow of activities I've performed, but mainly the I've done Qzar. I've done that to an international level. I've won one world championship, I've won four national championships. So basically I'm a big kid. I play games. I did UO, obviously, for 2.5 years. God help me. Escaped from that, went over to Azeron's Call instead of EverQuest, which was an odd transition, but went over to the PK server there, seeing how I play games to
kill people.
I'm that guy who is, you know, known as, you know, asshole, that bastard, etc. You know, I'm that guy. So, and I also did a virtual world, which I played a racing game called Red Planet, and placed fourth in the world in that. So I wasn't all that in a bag of chips in that. Unfortunately. I'm sorry. Yes, your pity's appreciated. Did you really? Which one?
I work at the Marietta Virtual World site over in Dave and Buster's.
Matter of fact, that's where I won my East Coast Championship to win a free trip out to California.
Cool.
Matter of fact, when you look at those little plaques over there on the wall and all those say Nighthawk.
I haven't seen any Nighthawk.
My guess is that would probably be me.
Man,
go look again.
If you look at the Red Planet ones, if you look at the Master ones, you look.
Okay,
at all
no, I didn't look at the Master site, but right now I just go over there to kill people that come from other sites. So. That's what my department sends me to do.
Well, the downside is that ever since Virtual World went to its 4.0,
yeah,
it's gone downhill. Unfortunately, the older, blockier version was a lot better because it had 28 tracks instead of, what, 7?
It's got, like, it's down to 8 now. It's up to 8 now.
Man, that must be fun.
The
older version is where I got my master level and all that fun jazz and yada, yada, yada. Anyway, there's another person here.
So this is our buddy Adam, who became our buddy earlier this evening. Long-term relationships! Okay, Adam is, he's a big gamer too. And he also is one of the webmasters for Stratix.com. Anybody ever heard of that?
Yeah.
Okay. Anybody that's a gamer knows about Stratix. And he's a dude for that. So I'm going to let you tell your specialness.
I've worked with Stratix for several years now, and I work mostly with Atriarch Stratix and a couple other of the upcoming games. But I've put in my time with UO and DQ and Anarchy Online and Jumpgate, and yeah, I think I've played them all. But I've been gaming for years now. I mean, from the very beginning when I first, you know, got online, started playing a couple of the MUDs, and then I got into Quake on InPlayer way back in the day. I know that's not way back in the day by some standard if you look at the MUDs, but it's been a long ride. I've betaed all of the games that Stratix covers pretty much, so I can answer questions about most of them. And all in all, it's all good fun.
And to make a really good rounding out, we have a couple gentlemen here that at the end of the program is going to give you a demo. It's a whole new type of gaming, something that we're not used to seeing. As a matter of fact, these poor gentlemen, especially Tim here, has spent the last week trying to explain to me. It's so different. We're used to games that we buy in a box, and we take it home, and we play it. And the box either does one or two things for us. It either gives us a game that we sit in our own little privacy and enjoy ourselves with, or it gives us something that opens us up and lets us go out online and play with other people, whether it's a Stratix game, which incidentally I didn't say earlier. The strategy games like Worldcraft and Starcraft and Brood Wars, those are my absolute favorites. Kohan is the biggie right now. Brood Wars rules! Yeah. So these guys have a whole new thing coming. And correct me if I do anything wrong. It's going to be kind of like a TV thing. You can do it on your Palm Pilot. You can do it on your DTV. You can do it online through a browser. It's flash-based. And it's going to be done in episodes, which will be done like a TV show. So I'll let them do like I did the others.
Yeah. Actually, it's a really exciting concept because we look at gaming today, and you go to the store, and you buy a box. And most of the boxes I've been buying lately, I pretty much hated. You know, I'm really much into single-player games. I don't know if any of you guys played Longest Journey. No one?
Just you, man.
Great.
It's okay.
Well, anyways, Longest Journey was like a sellout in adventure. It was awesome. It got number one in adventure gaming, and it's still selling out on the shelves today, so if you guys are into reading books, you know, get Longest Journey, because Longest Journey is like, it has the same type of story elements that you would get from a book, except they actually did it right with providing enough unique graphics, you know, to support the storyline. So, but yeah, Crimson Legacy is going to be, we're going to start our first season next year. We're going to start August through March. And users are going to be able to log on to our site just like you would, you know, cable TV, logging into Babylon 5 or something, and you'll be able to play our game. So we're really excited about it. And we're competing in the Gamastura Independent Gaming Competition as well. So wish us luck with that. But the demo is going to be on our site, crimsonlegacy.com, which we'll show later. So
see? You get to see a brand new thing before it's even started happening yet.
Yeah, this is
lucky y'all.
It's more than just a virtual chat room, or if any of y'all have experienced any Flash games, they're pretty linear, pretty choose-your-own-adventure type, you know. This is a total unique universe that's all done in Flash. We're utilizing technology that hasn't been done in Flash by using 3D engines, not necessarily using the actual 3D environment as an engine on the game, but as pre-rendered shots, kind of like Alone in the Dark does.
Yeah, Flash
yeah, that's
can
right.
do that.
That's the first thing we want people to say is, you can do that in Flash? And we're like, that's right, we can, because we're wanting to take away that two-year development cycle takes to produce software, great software titles.
They're doing it in a month.
What you're going to see has been done in a month. So that's pretty much, we've been testing out, you know, how much content we can do in a month and how control it will. And I think you'll be surprised with the results. Well, we don't want to get rid of the programmers, but we think that Adventure Gaming Flash. Well, if you know Java, then feel free to talk to me.
So, see, we're very excited today, and if any of you are wondering what the benefit of being a beta tester is, when you're in a beta, a true beta, not the final call beta, a lot of people get in on that. I mean, they let thousands of people in. But in a real beta, you get to hear what the gamers are wanting. Like, for instance, with these gentlemen right now, you get to hear where they're wanting to take it, where they're wanting to go. And one of the big things that I have a problem with is when you're in a game and you get to hear these guys with all these great ideas coming out with what they want to do, and then the consumer starts whining. And there's a very small percent, and you all know them if you play online. Some of you probably are them, and you won't raise your hands. Because if you do, we'll get Richard to kill you. But the thing is, the whiners always ruin the game. The game starts off really cool. Like anybody who – did anybody beta test UO? You did. I mean, really early beta where they crashed you and had a new character. You weren't born with any money. You had no money. You had no clothes. You had nothing. You came to the game. You started. You may be erased the next day. You finally got that suit of armor and you were dead. But they wanted to make seasons. It would evolve. And like in EverQuest where you get up and the sun starts, it's dark. It's really dark. And then it gets lighter and lighter and lighter. And you have this beautiful sunrise. And then it's full day. Sometimes it rains. Sometimes it's sunny. You know, UO was going to do that. UO now has rain and snow, but it's constant or kind of weird, sporadic thing. You ever notice how they have brown trees and green trees? It was supposed to change. Well, they lost all that. They went off in a totally different direction because everybody was whining.
Not everybody.
No, you were killing the whiners. They were happily killing the whiners. But and we hired them to kill them. We didn't consider it PKing if they were killing whining people or people with stupid names.
Well,
so
that's sort of a function, damn it.
So that's pretty much what we'd like to do today, is to talk about your part as a person who buys the game. Are you stuck with just listening? Okay, now I've bought the game. Am I stuck with this? And is there ways that you can find fun things to do within the game that actually makes it more fun? So we've done some. So I don't know. I did that much. Are we out of time?
Hey, let's start with questions.
Great.
Questions? Yeah, got questions?
None. Beautiful.
Really? Okay, go for it.
Thanks. I wait for him to run over here. I want to know whose idea it was to go, you know, we could make a game in Flash. It'll be a really cool game, and it'll be in Flash, so we don't have to program anything.
It was all him, man.
Well, actually, I work at a design firm in Dallas. I'm an art director, and corporate America is doing this. You know, you just don't see it. But what I'm doing now is for, like, AT&T managers, they'll be playing our training-based management system, kind of like what you're going to see here. I figured if they're taking it at a corporate level, then where is it in gaming? I was like you, you know. Flash is very powerful, and I don't know if you guys have seen a transition between Flash 4 and Flash 5, but it's just astronomical. You can, with Flash 5, you can, you know, with MySQL, you can talk directly to databases. You got Confusion support. You got database in the background. Soon, hopefully, they have Confusion support as well. But in the JavaScript, I mean, I'm sure most of you guys can pick up JavaScripting if you wanted to. You know, to me, it gives the artist finally the power to control, you know, what's on the screen without having to send it to a bunch of coders and never see it again. So.
Okay. It's kind of quiet,
man. Well, now Ian's already talking.
Well, it seems like online gaming has...
Thanks. It seems like online gaming has mined the same kind of couple of genres. What other genres are the game publishers working on that you know of?
Well, I've... you've seen a lot of fantasy games out there right now. I mean, how many games can you really think of that aren't a fantasy game right now, honestly, that are coming out on the market? You can think of one. Good for you. You get a cookie afterwards. But
being a whiner, too. So.
Damn.
There are some things that are coming out. I mean, Atriarch is the game that I've worked most closely with Stratix in the past couple years. It's going to be sci-fi. It's an alien world, all aliens. I mean, so there are some things. There are some other also, if you look at, Verint was working on Sovereign. I don't know if you're familiar with it. It's kind of been on a news blackout for a long time now, but it was theoretically going to be a massively multiplayer real-time strategy game. With you could zoom into the lowest level of mini-management and zoom out to global warfare. I don't know what their progress is looking at right now. The last time I heard, they were, you know, putting their teams on hold and hoping to, you know, hire a few extra programmers, but one company isn't doing that right now.
That was the one with the, you get your pager number to page you, right?
Sovereign?
Yeah. Wasn't that the one where you could be notified when you were under attack when you weren't even at your computer?
No, there was the game. I forget the name of it, but I know what he's talking about. It was a game where basically what happened is you signed up.
Oh, Majestic?
Was it Majestic? And what they did is they were, like, you were under attack. They could call you and haunt you through your cell phone, your telephone number, your email.
I don't...
Was that Majestic?
Yeah, there's Majestic is one, a title like that. I don't know about Sovereign specifically, if Sovereign has that also.
I thought it did. I remember reading something about that. That was months and months and months ago.
Maybe, yeah.
So. I don't know how excited I'd be about sitting in traffic and knowing somebody's definitely...
I know. I'd be like, oh!
You will so die mad at the next light.
When I get home, the shit I'm going to do to you... Oh, God.
One of the things that just went live, I guess a couple weeks ago now, maybe almost a month, was Majestic, which is, it's a new breed of online gaming where they get your home phone number, they get your email address, they get your cell phone and your pager, and they immerse you in the world as much as they can. You get a call, you know, with a woman screaming on the phone, you know, oh my God, there's blood in the kitchen or something, and it's up to you to log on to their website and put together the clues and solve the mystery, I think is what it is. It's working in episodes right now, yeah.
Aren't they eventually planning on having you send in your urine samples later?
You're talking me out of buying
it. Yeah, exactly. No, with Majestic, I believe it's in demo phase right now, and you don't, it's kind of like a monthly subscription thing. And I really liked the Majestic model at first until I, you know, saw it. I thought it had a lot of good aspects to it, but from the reviews, like GameSpot, you know, you get a phone call right away, and then it just dies down, you know. And it said the puzzle playing isn't that good. And, you know, I believe it. 2 years in development, research and development for a title like this, and they're still, it's like they've been in demo phase for a year. So something's going up with these guys. But, you know, it'd be okay if their websites looked a little better as part of the game. But you can basically tell a Majestic site, so.
I think it's a great idea, but not one I would want to be involved with.
I know, it scared me. I was like, you know, I got enough of that in real life.
Oh, that sounds like a hard sell. You know, yeah. I want to be, because, I mean, I understand, you know, people want to be immersed in their games because, I mean, that's what the big draw for Ultima Online. Still to this day having so many people involved because it's, you know, you can be anything. You can be a blacksmith, you can sit around chat in town, you can be a killer, you can kill monsters, you can
you
do
can
whatever
be a
you want.
Fisherman
you know,
on
you
a
can
boat.
Be immersed to that point. Now being immersed to getting a call on your cell phone, that's thank you.
Yeah. You get a call from your child's school, hello, we have Johnny.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean it's enough. It's bad enough that my reality invades on my virtual reality.
All right. Actually, I just wanted to ask. You haven't mentioned one genre, and that's the online simulation. And the Air Warrior was the first one. It's probably the first graphical multiplayer game online in the world, maybe. And it's progressed up to the point where they've made big claims. I'm sure. All of you know about the horrible, horrible launch of World War II Online.
That was because they had no education of the internet.
Yesterday, I finally got enough memory in my system that I can play it. It takes 400 megs of RAM to run this game smoothly.
To play what?
I'm not kidding you.
To play what?
I have a GeForce 3. Oh, yeah. I have 1,400 megabytes, Pentium 4, and it took me, and I had to put over 400 megs of RAM to run this game. I love these games. I played UO. I played EverQuest. Just didn't work for me. I love Sims. Now, I noticed the same thing about Warbirds. Warbirds started off with a pretty rocky start. World War II Online, really rocky, but still going. They got 1,000 people average at any one time. Are there, first, do you know of any other games that are trying to accomplish this, or and do you see that other games are going to be able to do this level of strategy, this level of massive warfare or such, or just this type of game? Are there any more on the horizon that you see?
Have you ever decided to enlist in the Army or Navy?
My tag has my call sign, Sonar. Mm-hmm. With the Lost Order of Ekalabeth, you may know them. My name was Murad, and it's changed to Sonar. I was going to go Navy the whole time, but now the Navy's not in because of the screw-ups. So I play the Army. And now that I've got that extra RAM, I can actually fly now, which is what I did with Warbirds all the time, which mm-hmm. you had no choice. But I'll go Navy when they get it, but it'll be a while. But I have that choice, but I'd want the entire schmeal. I don't want just right. a destroyer or simulation or just a ship simulation. I want that whole thing. I don't want to fling lightning bolts at somebody. I want to fling a 30-millimeter shell supersonic at somebody and watch the difference. Well, I think the shells sounds a lot cooler myself. But
I think there was a game called Gorilla where you threw bananas.
Hey, I'll tell you what, Worms too. I love the cow. Woo! And remember the little worms. When you. No kidding. I'm like a happy person. And the little bungee thing. Oh man, if you could bungee, you could roll. I never could bungee. But I blew myself up better than anybody else. Hey. We'll go around head to tail.
You say head to tail?
Yes.
Sounds like a full night.
This guy's going to have a heart attack by the end of the night.
Just a second.
Why's that?
Because he's running all over the place. I was going to say, James,
let him in. You want some water, dude?
I think he's going to say something about the birds.
Yeah, James was talking about having a... all of their games were supposed to connect into each other.
Yeah, they still are. Yes. The first one that came out was USAF.
Yes.
It does have full functionality for that. You know, I would think that selling it to the people would be the hardest thing, and advertising it the correct way. You know, I mean, how many people know that these games could possibly do this if they're not reading about it in a magazine, a gaming magazine? You know, but I'm sure there are a lot of other flight sim fanatics out there that would like to actually participate in something like this. I think the gaming industry as a whole has to take a look at the way they're advertising their products if they want to get it outside the PC, you know, and that even works in the different genres as well. You know, if you're able to advertise yourself in a different genre and get people going on board with you, then, you know, there should be no problem building more games for it. But right now, if everyone's playing Doom or Quake, then that's all you're going to see, you know, because that's really all... where the advertising's going.
But you can be more active in it, too.
Yes.
Things like MIRC, if you get in there at all, go in, hang out, find out the others that are hanging out. Talk it up. Share pictures. Share stuff. I mean, that stuff flies. I mean, you'd be surprised at how far you can reach, how many people you can contact, and how much information you can get across the board by doing just that. I mean, that's how I get on all my betas. So... if you have a genre you like, you want to see more of it, the people you play in the game with, talk to them. Get a hold of them. Start an MIRC chat. Get busy. Hooch it up with your friends. Get your friends to buy it.
Or Yahoo chat.
The more money that's involved into it, the more you'll get back on it. And I believe you
want to do that. The online sims are a game that are a genre that I want to see, too. When I first heard about World War II Online, I thought it was going to be the greatest thing since sliced bread. This is exactly what I wanted. It'd be like the best Half-Life Day of Defeat mod, only I could also fly, I could command a Navy ship. So the first thing I did was, of course, right-cornered Rat and try and pretend I'm all important, drop as many names as I can, see if I can get a beta, and I do, and I log in. And I couldn't figure out how to shoot. After I had someone explain to me that I needed to hold down three buttons to shoot, I shot a German. And the German teleported.
Oh, that!
I got kind of scared, so I wandered around, lost in a field for a while. Then night came, and I don't know what happened after that. It all just kind of went black. I think after the shaky release of World War II Online, you're going to see a lot of companies that are going to be very hesitant to try and start a project that big. What I'm going to wait for is, so what's World War II Online going to look like in a year from now? Are they going to be able to patch it up? Are they going to be able to get more than 1,000 players online? That's good for a launch. I mean, that's good for a game, especially an online game. But when you compare it to EverQuest and UO, it's nothing. And when you compare it to Lineage or something, it's even more just drops in a bucket. So I don't know. I think time is going to be important on that one, because I think there is a growing market for it, definitely.
You guys stated earlier that, like, whiners tend to mess up the game. What category do you classify it under when the company messes up the game? Like, a good example was in UO a while back when they decided to take out precasting. There was so much player response not to take out precasting, but they did it anyways, and it didn't affect the antis at all.
But that's because originally all the whiners got it booked out.
I can answer that.
We'll let
the reason that happened is because the Origin system sucks ass.
Thank you. That is right.
They brought this Wing Commander, man.
Pretty much what it comes down to is the squeaky wheel gets the grease in every case with Origin systems. Even if one half of 0.1% says, oh, God, this is ruining the game for me, they're like, oh, God, that's gone in the next patch. You know, that's how they got rid of PKing. Okay, I got it just down to 20%. Okay, you can't stay. You have to do this. You have to do that. You have to do this. Okay, I got rid of stealing in combat. I got rid of, and, you know, eventually it progressed down to affecting everybody's gameplay, because eventually someone's going to whine about something that you care about.
It progressed down to Trammel is what it progressed down to.
Exactly. You know, I mean, when you get to a point where you actually have a land where you can't interact with other people except for, you know, holding hands and, you know, tracing around singing Care Bear songs. I mean, yes. That's pretty sad.
Well, no, what's really sad is the fact that they ruined Felucia so that you can't play over there. I mean, you can't chop trees. You can't mine. Nothing respawns over there. So you're forced to go to Trammel. I mean, you're forced if you want to really role play. If you want to be a miner, you can't do it, and you can't live in Felucca anymore. And that's the part that I resent mostly, is they made it to where you couldn't function in Felucca. So not only did they ruin it, it's just like they want to just trash the game, throw it in the can altogether. Sorry. I would live in Felucca if they hadn't ruined it. I mean, I refuse to buy anything. I want to get my wool. I want to, you know, I want my little things to make my bandages. I want to chop my own trees for my own arrows. And if I want some metal something, I want to go cook it, whatever. I don't want to have to go into Care Bear, as he calls it,
And I want people like you as a target.
Yeah. Bring it on, big boy. Yeah.
Well, did you ask for your money back?
In UO?
Yeah.
I sent a bunch of emails that said, because, like, due to the high demand, I don't know if, like, anybody still plays, but I do. They brought back precasting, and it's, like, pretty gimped. Like,
how?
The time.
How is it gimped?
Like, the timing makes it so you really can't do anything with it, but it's just still there. Just to, like, appease the people. I mean,
it looks there, but it's not.
Everybody, like, I was one person who started a whole petition to bring back precasting.
But that's the thing with UO. Once the whiners have gotten rid of something, it won't come back. It's like when they, I don't know if you were around long enough to remember when they said you could not recall in or out of the dungeons beyond the first level. Who remembers that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was a point where you could only recall to the first level. So basically, if you were on the bottom level, your only escape from monsters, PKs, etc., was to run back up through all the levels and recall off the... Well, I'm not saying it's not.
When I first heard of these guys, because they're Crimson Legacy, I thought that one of them was one of the guys that I'm going to tell you this story about. The guy's name was Crimson Knight, and he was one of my buddies. We met in Serpent's Hold, and we banked at the same place, and he was one of the Sun Guild or something. And turns out that every Tuesday, Ultima got together and had this big powwow and decided what they were going to do. And so when I tell you that the whiners win, I know for a fact, because he was one of the ones that went to the meeting. And I never, you know how you never really trust what anybody says? I believe this guy was telling me the truth because we sat in a chat room on ICQ one day on a Tuesday before he supposedly was going to a meeting. And I was totally righteous about this whole can't recall out. And I proved to him that the PKs weren't, they would not do it because the PKs could recall in and stalk you. I said, look, a two-week-old character's not going to stay on the bottom level. So, you know, only the good players are going down there. They put it back. But that was just another thing. If they whine, if it looks like it's going to cut money, they take it away. They're not going to put it back. Have you ever noticed they don't put things in because of whiners? They take it away.
You said they're going to bring it back, but, like, I think about 20% of UO's population left after Precast was gone.
About 80% left when EQ came out.
When what came out?
EverQuest.
Oh. Well, that's a...
and StarCraft. There were lots of us left when StarCraft came out. We still lurk in the hedges, but... StarCraft, very good. Brood War's better. Well, see, I'm one of the power gamers, and I get, you know, whenever we trained, we had a group called the Knights in, What?
He's just waiting, he's raising his hand. Oh,
okay.
Speak.
What do you guys think about the kind of newer genre of massively multiplayer online that's coming out in the next, 9-10 months?
As an
example? Because we've got a bunch of games like Sims Online, for God's sakes. It's a massively multiplayer game where you can't kill somebody for a change.
Well,
I think that's the first one that's ever done that. Yes, as in the Sims, only 5,000 people doing the Sims.
Pretend
that you have.
And the girl in the bathtub will still not be naked, okay?
Yes.
Unless you put in the patch code.
Yeah.
That's when everybody I know that was a guy quit.
But yeah, I mean, we've got games that are coming out now to, in the next year or so that are going to be such a departure from the standard fare, not going to. Have the Quake-esque run around and kill everybody, not the StarCraft-esque run around and killing everybody, or the... Oh, actually, no, it is everybody killing everybody all the time, unless you're, like...
hey, what's wrong with killing people?
Nothing at all.
It's a constructive hobby, you know.
Exactly.
But
as long as it's metaphoric, doesn't... You know.
What do you guys think is going to happen from those type of games?
Well, there's going to be a lot of people who like that sort of thing. There's a lot of people who bought Sims and they'll play it.
There are a lot of changes coming out. I mean, every game that's coming out is going to have some new features, and every time after that, those features are going to be included in every game. You know, you're going to start to see anything that seems innovative is going to become commonplace. I mean, that's just the way it builds on itself. But as far as the nonviolent things like The Sims, personally, when I heard about when Sims came out, the first thing I thought was, great, multiplayer. And then I was really disappointed to find out it wasn't in. Then you know, when Sims Online was announced, the first thing I thought was, Sims Online! Wait. And I kind of, you know, scared myself off of that, but there was that moment of glee. So I think that there is definitely a market for things like that, and probably growing. I think online gaming in general can only grow from here.
This lady right here.
I'm from a completely different school of online gaming. I admit it. I have never played EverQuest. I have never played Anarchy Online. I have never played Ultima Online.
There could probably be some very good things said about that.
You saved a lot of money.
Yeah.
Yes. I refuse to play... pay for play games. Mm-hmm. I do not like the concept of buying a game and then having to pay to play it. Like, huh? I'm from a school that supports games like Black and White, mm-hmm. which, say what you will about the release of the game, it wasn't Lion's Head's fault.
I love Black and White.
Thank you. The style of online play done in Black and White is very different from what most people are used to. Mm-hmm. It's not the, I'm going to kill your god, I'm going to kill your creature. It's the, I'm going to take your villages from you and make you go bye-bye.
Right, and you can't mass produce either.
Exactly.
It's like I have to influence you.
Exactly. It's a wonderful...
Seduce you or beat you into submission.
Do you see anything like that becoming more popular?
As people understand it,
yeah,
it's a pretty big jump. I mean, you got to admit, it's a big jump. It's a total different perception of how you play.
Yeah, and if you've ever been on the Black and White forums, you'll see that. There's the two clear groups of people. There's the, why can't I kill someone's creature... You know, why can't I just zap, 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 zap? Why can't I influence in their area sort of thing?
Why can't I gather millions of people, run over and kill the creature?
Yeah, there's actually a whole movement that wants to include wars in
Well,
into
that
black
would be
white.
Me.
Though, is you see more women gaming, because that is a more kind of stereotypically female kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And if you get, and there are more and more women who aren't scared to death to be
in front
of the computer.
And there are even more women who play
now
that aren't AOL chat hunters.
I thought y'all were supposed to be equal.
We're
better.
No. There's a difference between equal and identical.
Right.
And when the game designers figure that out, that there is a market there, they just have to angle a little bit.
Right.
I think there's going to be a lot of money to be made.
But
right,
there are a lot of women out there who do tribes, Unreal Tournament.
Oh, no, I'm not saying
really
there are.
Good first
I'm just saying
PvP.
If you ignore the market that aren't like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, think about it. Who thought that sitting around building buildings and putting roads down streets was going to be fun? And yet, when they
roller
put it out,
tycoon.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. You have mm-hmm. to think outside the box and create those kind of games for
exactly.
different kind of people.
Exactly. You were talking about, I'm going to get back over this guy because he was saying it earlier, and the whole Brood Wars thing. And the power gamers, okay?
Oh, yeah.
I'm one of those that shave the milliseconds, okay? And you're right. And when they came out with the little bug where everybody could see everything.
Oh,
and
yeah,
our
the
group,
map hacks.
Right.
Yeah.
I took our group. We had a guild, the Knights from Eternal Hell. I took our group into Bloodbath. Have you ever played the Bloodbath? Bloodbath will kick your butt. And the worst you can play is against Zerg. Have you ever done it? Just go in and play against them. You take against Zerg. Zerg is fast. They will kick your butt in 2 seconds. Right. We got to where we had to literally wait. I mean, before we took you out, we had a little thing called the shorts. And so my name was Athena, and my short name would be A-T-H, Tilled. And so Gossamer was G-O-S, Tilled. You couldn't have more than 4 letters, and then you had your Tilled. We got to the point where we played, and so when they came out with all the little cheats, this is one of the things that this whole program is supposed to be about, is how to counteract cheats and give you some ideas. They came out, they revealed, and they could see everything, so they could see what you were doing. So while I'm sitting here playing in the dark, I have no clue where you're at on the map. They know that I just built my hive or whatever. Personally, I play Protoss. That's my big buoy. After Protoss is Zerg. And my children are forcing me to play Terran because they can kill me in Terran because I'm so bad. But we go into the Bloodbath and we play. Now, 5 minutes, you have to take at least 5 minutes to beat the computer or you don't get a score. You're aware of that. We were down to 1:82. I could beat Zerg against Zerg, and that's not my best.
Ooh.
1:82.
1:82.
Jeez.
Isn't that
Do
2 minutes, 22 seconds?
No, they did 1.82. I don't know. Don't do math on me. Jeez. Do what? Well, we didn't have time for that. I mean, the point is you just sit there and you scope it out and you get your little, the first thing you have. And then as soon as that comes out, you run your little guys over there. And you just sit them to where they're going over there and beaten. I mean, it's kind of lame. But to learn how to do that and to get that timing, you've got on the 6th person you do this, on the 7th person you do this, on the 8th person you do this. And if you sneeze, you know you lost the game.
Yes.
This is the kind of gaming we did with these strategy games. If you sneezed, you lost it. If the phone rang, forget the phone. Kick the table down. Don't you talk to me because, you know, you've got milliseconds here. And when the Razor Boom Flame 2000 came out, I'm going to tell you right now, the first time I played StarCraft with that game, I threw up. The speed and fastness of it, how fast I could trigger and pop and grab, I got sick. I had to go to the bathroom in the middle of the game and throw up. It was flying. But then after we did the blood baths, we got to where people would come in to a game, and you could tell they were cheating because you would have your first group of people sitting there, and they'd fall out of the game.
As soon as they saw it, they're like, fuck you, man. And the game was gone. They were out because they could see. And you knew who the cheaters were by doing that. It's like, okay, if they didn't do that, well, we won the game.
I know this little marine. Spend 50 minerals, wait a little bit, you get a little guy that shoots things. I've been accused of cheating so many times because of the speed I can create units. I practiced. I can get lurkers out in like 3 to 4 minutes, easy. And people are like, "How'd you do that? That's impossible because you have to wait on your building to manufacture."
Lots of builders.
You can have two to each one if it's a direct line. You can have three if it's off to the side. And for the really extended ones, you can have four. Any more than that, and you've wasted your money and your time.
Going back to the not paying to role play, what do you guys think of, and have you heard anything about where Neverwinter Nights is going?
Oh, man, I can't wait for Neverwinter.
I know. It's, and it's supposed to come out like 2000?
Yeah, what was it, October of 2000, and we're like a year late
well,
now.
Well, so Shadowbane.
Yeah. Yeah, have you heard anything about when it's supposed to come out? Or
I'm crossing my fingers that it doesn't go the way of Middle Earth. Yeah. I mean, that was a game I wanted really bad, and they wound up firing everybody.
That may come out with the movies.
I'm hoping that Middle Earth will come out when the movies do, because they're finishing up on those. I think they finished one movie and starting in the second one now, aren't they?
No, they filmed all three movies at
they
the same time, and they're done except for...
Well, post-production in between each year.
There is actually work being done on Middle Earth Online right now.
Right.
I know a coder who is working on it. They have a really limited team right now, but they are hoping to get it out, hopefully, with the movie. So there have been some legal issues.
Are they still going to come out with the original idea of it, or are they going with the new?
I think it might be a kind of a partially nerfed idea.
Oh.
As far as Neverwinter Nights go, I think there's a real good chance that one's actually going to see the shelf. I would bet strongly against it disappearing for a few years, getting canceled, anything like that. They've come too far. They've got too many people working on it. There's too much interest being generated. There are people who are already mentally designing the worlds
right.
that they're going to create and how they're going to link them to everyone. Oh, there's more than you can count. I think that's going to be real interesting to see, you know, what it's like without a central server, with every player, you know, linking in. Well, there will be central servers, but
a lot of people said that the whole idea wouldn't work. If you don't charge for games, then there's not going to be any interest to keep it up. But apparently,
it's been done before.
Yeah, say,
well,
know,
real quick,
MUDs have worked for years. I mean, it was the start of online gaming, and they're still going on. Yeah.
Diablo 2. I still play Diablo 2.
And with the new patch out on Diablo 2, it's got a whole new resurgence.
Yeah,
For these games that want to actually come out and provide graphical interfaces and actually, you know, try to create the world that the artists are trying to convey visually, do you not think they deserve to be paid? How do you think they...
Oh, man, he's hilarious.
Poor guy.
I'm not saying that they shouldn't be paid. And if Neverwinter Nights, if I have to wait much longer, I'm probably going to buy a request or Asheron's Call because I've never played either of those either.
No.
Yeah. Oh,
must play online.
You'd love it.
But, with Neverwinter Nights, there's so much you can do, and I think it's going to be a great game, and I just wish it would hurry up.
And there's Microsoft's clone of it, which is Dungeon Siege, I believe. Is that the name of it? There's just utterly stealing the idea of being able, you know, the users to create their own dungeons and it being hosted on their own machines. But, of course, it's not D&D based. But
last time I saw anything from that, it looked really primitive. But that was a long time ago. Yeah. Do you know if it's come anywhere since then?
It's supposed to be due out the first quarter of 2002.
Well, 2002, they've got a shot.
Most of these require an initial payment of the box game to begin with.
Yeah.
So they are making money. It's
yeah,
just the online play is a secondary deal.
It is hard to develop, though, I mean, without a cost. The developers, if you look at how much they make off of royalties, it's so ridiculously small that it's impossible. I mean, no one could possibly get into that business unless they just want to make games. Because for the developers themselves, except for a few star players, the money you see is not very good. What you see with the online services, though, that gives them a chance to, you know, you can keep paying. You can pay a staff, which is pretty important when you look at something like EverQuest or Asheron's Call or any of the biggies. If you don't have a staff, the game is going to go totally static real soon because there are not going to be any changes that are revolutionary enough to keep the players interested or the players happy when you've got PKs abusing bugs or anyone, you know, the bugs. Things need to be patched quickly to keep the players happy, because if they don't, everyone remembers, oh, those months that I spent losing this or getting killed by that bug.
What do you think about the advent of console gaming, console systems trying to get into this, like FF11, Phantasy Star Online? Hopefully FF11 is going to be massively multiplayer, in my opinion. I can see both ways. I mean, it'd be good as a Diablo game. It'd be good as an EverQuest game. What it looks like right now is an EverQuest game from the demo I've seen of it, the little trailer movie.
I don't think you're ever going to... With the console, I don't think...
They're supposedly bringing it out for the PC systems as well.
Yeah, it's going to be hard to see. If they're trying to mirror it on both a console and a PC, how limited is it going to be? I mean, how in-depth is it? It's not going to be a mud-like experience, that's pretty sure. It's probably going to be mostly hack and slash. On the other hand, the question is there a market for that? There's a market for EverQuest. EverQuest is hack and slash with the chat program. So you know, whether or not you'll see an increase in that sort of thing, with the mirroring...
The year 2003, there's predicted to be a $3.4 billion market for online gaming. You know, compared to in 2001, there's a, I mean, 2002, I believe the figure's 30.6 million, and it's just supposed to skyrocket. I mean, when we see broadband connections come out and, you know, dial-ups aren't even going to be in existence, you're going to see it, I mean, just like, one night, it'll just change, you know? I mean, most of the world is... Well, actually, you're probably connected to fiber optics and don't really know about it. That's really why the telecom market bombed, because they went around laying fiber optics for 80 years worth of communication technology, but you just don't see it yet because it's not really turned on yet. But when you do, that's when you're going to see more console to, like... Our game, because it's in Flash, we'll be able to play it on the PlayStation 2 and PC and wireless devices and interactive TV and basically anything else that comes out with Macromedia's Flash. So,
I'm speaking as a programmer behind a now defunct online gaming startup. I got to say that the revenue stream does have to be there consistently somehow, some way, just in order to handle having that many users online at a given time hitting your servers. It's just an unbelievable task to do. And you really have to do it right. You have to program it correctly.
It's only an unbelievable task if your servers are Windows. I set up a machine that could handle over 150,000 users on it at one time.
But we're handling
that was
the
a
graphics.
Single machine. That was not a cluster.
But handling all the interactive graphics. I mean, it is a whole lot of work to handle all that. And, I mean, even packs.
But if you're – see, the difference is most of these games are running on NT clusters. NT cannot – it flat out can't do that. It was not built to do that. When you've got another operating system that was built so that you can take it apart, put in what you need, and just put through the processor, through the memory, what you wanted, and I can show you how it works. Just what you need it to. I can totally configure my kernel for whatever I want to. I can set it for so that I have I do just graphics. I can set it any way I want. When you have a machine like that, it's really easy to set up a large-scale server. I could set up a single server that would run all the Diablo cluster, the Diablo 2 clusters, a single machine. And they've got like something like 256 machine cluster, but they're running in T. And
you're making
problem.
Me salivate here. We were talking earlier about spoon-fed. Microsoft has got everybody so spoon-fed that they are terrified, especially the corporate people, to go anywhere that doesn't have Microsoft stamped on their butt.
You know who Time Warner is, right?
Yes.
Okay, you know the little Roadrunner system?
Mm-hmm.
That's run on one computer. That's the computer I designed. Currently, it's got 123,000 users on it. It's See, BSD, and I wrote that system from scratch.
And if America stops trying to be spoon-fed wimps and will stop begging everybody to do everything for them and making them feel like they got a good ego and start using what works. It is. We are kicked out of countries. We're pioneers. We worked hard for what we got. We didn't become wimps until the 50s.
And even if it's not the individual game that they're pushing, at least push the servers. At least push out a free copy of this just the server software for people to run their own gaming servers.
And
run
Linux
it run it just on Linux or run it on FreeBSD, run it on Sun, run it on something besides Windows that works.
Well, they're beginning to get more games that are cross-platform
They are.
Ultima is cross-platform. Quake.
It's going extremely slowly. We need to get some games that are
but
just
it's a
for
snowball.
Linux.
It will roller. It'll get bigger faster. Just because of that reason.
Sometimes it's the bandwidth. I run a free MUD, right? And it's got maybe 700 people max on it. But it eats up $200 to $300 a month for the people who run our server. And we're a free MUD. The only way we can pay that is if people are kind enough to donate money to keep it running. So
I'm in bandwidth on my server.
Before we ask any more questions, what time is it? Because we have these gentlemen. We want to be sure and see their demo.
It's 20:38.
Is it time yet, Scott? Okay.
I just wanted to say, in regard to the cross-platform issue, I think probably what shaped my online gaming most is I was a Mac person back in the bad old days when all we had was MechWarrior 2. It's like, yes, very, 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 very glad to have it in. It was wonderful if it ran on your system. But StarCraft was like a new step for me. I remember eons ago, borrowing someone's CD to get a spawned version, and it was just, this was something I could play that was pretty, that worked on my system, that was wonderful, and now it's gone back to...
She was Mac, don't pick on
She's
her.
She's a woman, she's allowed to say pretty.
Yeah, the fact that she says StarCraft was pretty is what he's going at.
Hey!
Mine's great.
Run! Oh, a smart man.
Hide hither, young son.
Anyway, it seems like things have gone back now to the bad old days, that nothing runs on a Mac anymore worth a dime. I mean, my Diablo 1 barely ran on my Mac. It took, like, the first patch to come in for it to run on my Mac. Then Diablo 2 won't run on my Mac. End of story. Will not run. But it's gone back to you can't get anything on any alternative
system. I think gamers are, like, the programmers are going to be spending more time on Linux and Unix.
Mm-hmm. And Neverwinter Nights is, like, I'm waiting for this. It's, like, the pie in the sky that I'm trying to reach for, that it's everything on one CD.
But IBM clones are so cheap now.
She looks so excited.
No, they're not. If you want something that'll run decent games, no, they're not.
If you build it yourself, you save a hell of a lot of money.
We have 8 machines in the house and eight desktops and 3 laptops.
Jesus.
You can build a real gaming machine for
you make it yourself.
It's okay. It's a big step, but you can do it.
Well, see, the problem is now in my house I run 4 different operating systems. Now nothing works with anything. It's fun.
People are spoon feeding. Big box systems that cost $1,500.
Oh, I know. I work in academia. I'm aware of this fact. I can only order stuff from Dell when I can build it for a third of the cost.
When you pay $80 for them to install RAM that takes like 2 seconds.
I know. I'm aware of this. The problem is that in order to get a Macintosh system now, you have to buy it from Mac. End of story. There are no clones. There are no hardware vendors. You cannot
Mac
get them.
Mac has pretty much been that way, though.
No, there once in the day there was clones, and it was a good thing.
Very, very, very,
and
very.
Several
what
others,
was up with that Power PC, man? I never really dug that, you know. Did it ever work?
Yes, it did. Thank
I still
you
get
very
some Power
much.
PC hits on Crimson Legacy. So they're out there.
Schools should teach how to build a computer and how to fix a car.
They do now.
Those two things right so there are some of the most expensive things you have to get repaired. And the people, the repairmen know it and will charge you out the ass for it. If you knew how to do it, prices would come down.
You want a guaranteed living, learn how to repair Macintoshes.
it's really the same thing. We got to educate, you know. It's people's jobs to tell people it's that easy. It's the same thing people saying, I can't stand widescreen and the annoying black bars. And when you really look at it, man, and you understand what original aspect ratio is, you're missing out on half the movie when you're watching full frame.
Yeah.
You know? It's a matter of understanding. We just, you know, need to educate.
One thing about Linux gaming is that I've heard from developers like Loki who do ports, like companies.
What's that? Okay. My question was... how often do you guys talk to big-name companies about different platform gaming? Because I've heard it from a guy who works at Loki Software that Blizzard will not make a Linux game until they can guarantee 50,000 shipped copies, I believe.
And Loki's out of business now.
Loki's bankrupt. They're not bankrupt. Out of business. But, yeah, I mean, that's...
Thanks for a new term.
The issue is, though, that people don't demand these games from these companies, and if they did... then
and
maybe
that's
they'd
what
happen.
I came back to earlier when I was talking to the gentleman about the flight simulators and stuff. You have to be a squeaky wheel for the good area.
They have to have the demand for the game, so nobody will build them. But if people started building them, they'd have the people would be forced to start using it, and they'd sell more. So
build it, and he will come.
StarCraft has run under Wine for years. I play it every day under Wine and under Linux. It's a game that was engineered well enough to run on Macs, Windows, and Linux. Blizzard just doesn't care enough about it to go ahead and say, all right, here's the Linux version.
You know what's going to happen? What's going to happen is that the people actually playing the games are going to actually start making them like we did. I was so sick and tired of the single-player titles out there. I mean, just go out there and make them. I mean, what's to stop you?
Especially for Linux machines, because it's open-based anyway, and it's free. And so if you have any programming skill, get busy. Do it. Make a shell for it.
There are efforts out there now. There's a game called FreeCiv. There's, all kinds of games
but if
are
we
want to
take
done,
it from Microsoft,
by,
we've got to get involved.
Yeah.
We've
you
got
guys
to
need to support
to
those guys
fed.
If you really like what they're doing. You got to get on their sites. You got to email them and tell them that they're doing a good job. It's like Crimson Legacy, I get tons of hits.
That's the only software I pay for is stuff from companies that port games to Linux
such.
But right now, I guess the population is too small. I'm just telling you guys who do all this stuff, if you want to get it anywhere, you've got to, yell at them.
Right, we're yelling. Of course, in our own silent little ways. we're going to ahead and do the demo now, or we're not going to have time? One more? Okay.
Being as we kind of got onto the question of systems architecture for serving the back end, this is kind of more my day job, but have you considered the other way of solving your server problem is not concentrating the traffic? Certainly not the hack and slash action games, but anything that requires a persistent world is actually an ideal candidate for a distributed storage system. In other words, providing the client is always, the gaming machine is always on, you can set up a persistent connection so that it's carrying a portion of the load of calculating both the persistent world and everybody else. Obviously, you have to build redundancy in their replication. Eventually, you're going to wind up with a system that looks awfully similar to Nutella or Napster, but specifically designed towards maintaining a persistent game world. And that completely makes your bandwidth and server issues go away.
Somebody needs to get in with this guy and make a title. You know, that's something that I would have liked originally for Crimson Legacy that I was envisioning, is that we create the core world or universe, and then people would log in, you know, and add to our universe that we created. And basically, like the Napster type deal that you were talking about, they'd be hosting their own worlds. you know. And, you know, just like the SETI program, that's something that I would have liked to have done. But, you know, I think the whole gaming industry is pretty infinite as far as online gaming is concerned and server issues, and we won't see that for a while. So it's just a matter of waiting, you know, until the technology's there to do it. But definitely the first step is broadband, you know, getting the connections good. So
even though we're not going to see something like that anytime soon, you know, immediately, there are some attempts. I mean, different architecture is being explored in different ways. Atriarch, the game I've been working the most with, is trying to have one massive world bigger than all of the shards of every online game combined. They want 1 million square miles. Is that going to happen? Maybe. They still think so. They're entering beta now, pretty much. They're doing that processing via Beowulf clusters. Now, you know, if that's successful, if companies see that you really can have one massive world with thousands and thousands and thousands of players connecting to the same kernel, the same server, interacting with the same people, I think you're going to see a lot of trends towards more distributed serving and distributed network stuff, because I think that's pretty much undeniably the way of the future when you look toward, you know, when you look at the economics of it and how efficient it is to spread the load out among all of the users and among all of your own servers compared to just having a couple stacks. Spiritually.
Yes.
We just got our Chrome up.
Yeah, that's very true.
Yeah, it's not the size of the pipe, it's the response time to the server.
I want to point out again, if you've been listening, a lot of this, we'll see. We'll have to wait. And we will have to wait as long as we're waiting on other people to do stuff. And what I'm trying to say is don't wait. You've got talent. You've got skills. Get out there and start doing it yourself. If you want to see changes, then start doing it. You do it in the games. You've role-played it. You've played it. You've played leaders. Do it in real life. Transfer it over. You've got skills. You learn skills playing the games. They taught you how to point and click. They taught you a whole lot of things. Now use it. Use it for programming. Start getting involved and writing some of the things out there.
You're a great motivational speaker.
Not this late.
Just do it, man.
Just do it. Yeah. Get those Nike shoes.
Yeah, no affiliate of Nike, okay? I don't like working little kids in sweatshops.
What?
But you don't have to sit back and let everybody else do it for you or wait for somebody else to twist your knobs.
An interpretation of American culture is exploitation.
That's profound.
Yeah.
That medicine's finally kicking in.
I think it did kick in.
Waiting all night.
A while.
Flashes in here. Just give me a black screen.
Hey, what'd you do, man?
Does he have the flash plug in on it?
Yeah.
Oh, that would be totally not right if he didn't have flash.
No, he just had a shot up there.
Yeah, do we have IE on here?
Yes. So this is the night time.
Oh, God.
Right.
They were working diligently on that black screen. We call this the turtle shell. We're trying to emulate World War II. Notice the green hue with the black. It's a special motif.
Pretty spectacular, huh?
I now see why you guys only had a 1 month production time.
Hey, with no budget, man.
No, like, no.
No bloodshed. That's important.
Hey, man, I'm just giving you hell.
Six hours of programming and the rest of the month.
Yeah.
Ew.
This is not playing.
Evercamp, my God. At least play something else.
Hold on, I can try and see if I got everything
on. You.
Shoot the music.
Oh, yeah.
I never could get past the first couple of levels.
Please reload Windows.
same program Steven Spielberg applied to and was denied.
Yeah, he got in the first semester.
Correct. So he owns?
Yeah, he's like...
Yeah, I didn't know that until last night. Steven Spielberg tried to become a...
Yeah, we just saw that last night.
Oh, boy, this is not playing.
But the music was good.
Yeah.
We
could listen to that.
Sound good. All right.
Wow, now that was awesome.
Did anyone install IE 6.0 on here?
Do help us see.
Do people actually still use IE?
Yes, they do.
Why?
Everyone uses IE.
He needs 5. 4 won't support it.
I'm about to say.
Try Netscape.
99% of the people who hit my website use IE.
Yeah, same here. Yeah. When I look at the Stratix traffic, it's all Internet Explorer.
I have a big icon on my website that says if you use IE, click here. You click there, it crashes your machine. Well, all you have to do is send it in your send inside the header. Send the browser to an FTP site that cannot exist, and it will completely hose up the machine. No matter what Windows you're running, it will completely hose it up. I use Opera, so.
Okay, kids, now put that in a pop-up banner so you can't avoid the crash.
That's a good one. I'm waiting for the best view to link as well.
Flash 5, it's not playing any Flash 5 stuff.
You know, nobody here mentioned Age of Empires.
It's not. Flash 5.
Talking about
like
pretty games, I love the little horses in the carriage, but I'm no good at the Empires games. And the reason is because I get so caught up in those little girls and boys going out and doing the gardening and the horses running around, and I do the lines. It is. I mean, who needs Sims when I can make horses do the little parades? The what? Really? That's cool.
Before Black and White was released, I don't know if you saw this, but there was a Winamp plugin that I think is really cool. The bear? Yeah. Dancing bear? He's great.
Well, okay. I started off with the cow. But he made very rude noises. And he kept flipping me off. And I didn't want to slap him. So I went to the tiger. I'm boring. But he's got a cute little pink zigzag, you know, lightning. He stayed neutral? I let my tiger eat people. He has eaten. And when he goes out to rescue the little people in the ocean, he stomps them. So, he's kind of bad. But I try to be good. I never did figure out the little leashy things, so I always just put the neutral one on him. And he's still mean. The good ones, the original game StarCraft wanted to do, but because it was so difficult to play, they started off with StarCraft and then upgraded to Brood Wars, which is personally how I like to see a game done rather than degrade it down and leave it low. If you go on to Brood Wars, it's going to take you to a level because it gives you, like, for instance, do you play Terran? Okay. The little Terran guys have a medic now who can go around and heal them. But that's with Brood Wars. That's not with the other. And then also with Protoss, you're going to have the little guys that, and I don't know all the technical names, hello. I'm more into Shaving Time. But they have the little guys that will burrow down and they shoot up things and just all these really cool stuff. Lurkers. Yeah, I love those.
But is that too difficult to start? I've never played. I thought that was
online. I would go ahead and start that and play against the computer. And then go online and play it. If you've enjoyed StarCraft in the past, I'd do that. If you're interested in actually role-playing, where maybe today you want to try, this is one of the things that's really good with the role-playing games, is if your personality is the kind that you want the chance to try to be a good guy, maybe you've never been a good guy in real life, or if you want to be a bad guy, you know, if you want to be a thief, you can try this. And if you don't like it this week, kill that guy and make a new guy next week. And you get to try out different personalities that you can't do on your friends because they wouldn't tolerate it.
What game are you referring to?
Any role-playing game.
Well, that's what I was going to ask. I mean, I like role-playing as opposed to hack and slash.
But real role-playing. I mean, you know, nowadays when I go into the game and they're...
What were you thinking, having your feet all casual out?
But when I go into a role-playing game, now everybody's shocked because they don't play that. They try to play it like they do StarCraft or the way they would a first-person shooter. And it's, let's go camp, let's go kill. And I'm like going, excuse me. You did, you know, like I went in the other day, and this guy from Germany, a friend of a friend's wife's, whatever, and we were hanging out, and I said, no, you got to make a rule with me, because he was complaining about how boring the game was. I said, okay, here's the rule. You play it my way. And he said, okay. It got night time, he cast night sight. I said, no, no more night sight. When it's dark, it's dark. We camp. You know, we start a campfire. We eat. You know, we camp. We tell ghost stories. And if you're going to role play. If you don't, go to a different game. You know, that's what the role-playing games are for. The first-person shooters, if you want to camp, you know, you can do that. Let's stand right over the home.
I think we're ready.
But it depends on your personality.
This is a full works in production here. I mean, we're still producing it, so. Yeah, it's. The thing about Flash is that I really hope they pick up on their research and development effort, because right now Flash is pretty much solely processor based. And so that's pretty much why you see it jumping.
Saying your processor sucks.
Yeah.
That's not my machine. Okay.
Yeah, and plus it's I mean, we're pretty much developing a full title on here, and we're coming up with a lot of issues that... Oh, yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
But we plan to have voiceovers, and...
Just go over to settings.
Yeah, this mouse is left-handed. It's really interesting trying to work with it.
And
there's
another one?
Yeah.
Is it set up?
No, only the ambidextrous people are happy.
Man, I just can't do this. It's a new concept, clicking with the fourth finger. Okay.
Turn your mouse upside down and run it off the ground. Yeah, like that. I know it's rough, but it'd be better.
Oh, great. This is even better.
Can you make them over there and run the mouse for you?
This is better than the game, man.
Okay.
Woo!
This is from the developers. Out of buying so many games today.
They're all experiences.
Okay,
though.
Keyboard Tom. Ow.
Okay, great.
Do you want me to set the mouse right handed for you, right quick?
I just have to be.
It takes like maybe 15 seconds to set it right handed.
Okay.
Yeah.
There we go. Okay. So, anyways, Crimson basically works off a date time system. Here, of course, we have it 1919. I have to change the color to that. But this is when the timeline of Crimson Legacy starts. It's in 1919. And the unique thing that we're doing with the game is that it's timing-based, meaning certain events are going to occur 2 weeks from when you're playing it because, you know, 2 weeks have progressed and the plot is calling for something else to happen. So you may be... in area the first day and someone tells you return tomorrow, you know, and you got to be online tomorrow to, you know, encounter this character. But we're totally taking the Dragon Slayer / King's Quest approach to this, and we're trying to combine both tiles together. But, of course, with this being Flash technology, we're a little limited, but we're really hoping that 6 comes out and offers a lot of stuff. But so this is where you start. You start at your desktop, and this is where you're going to experience care. It's none of you guys have really played Longest Journey, so I can't really refer to it. But, you're going to be able to, the whole thing about Crimson Legacy that I thought was really important is that we push story. And so basically everywhere you click on is going to be some type of story element. Like here you'll be able to talk to the characters inside the camp. Notice I only have a single click in the whole game. You don't have to right click or any of that stuff. But this is one of our characters from the Illuminati that Alex uncovers. I'm going to just trigger an item here. But anyways, you carry on conversation.
Yes.
Try to interact with the characters a little bit. You'll be able to play this online, by the way. So, next week, it'll be online, fully playable. Right now, though, I actually suggest you guys go onto our site because we have a lot of pre-production stuff. We have a little presentation deal behind the scenes, and we have more Gary's music, which, of course, is just fantastic. We basically have an archaeologist in 1919 who finds himself contracted by the government, and he's part of a black operations to uncover ancient artifact in Giza, and he finds himself face to face with the Illuminati, basically, who are trying to make sure that this artifact is not told.
It's you uncover stuff that rewrites the way we think of history, stuff that changes the perception of what has been said, what is thought to be set in stone.
Yeah, the Crimson Legacy universe, I guess I can say it here, but Alex Whitney is not the main character of our universe. The main character is really, the main character happens... Well, the main storyline occurs way before mankind was ever created, and it's more of a Star Wars approach. It's very sci-fi related. You have giant epic battles with alien empires, and it takes you up to when Earth is created, and we basically go into Genesis in the Bible, you know, when Adam and Eve were created.
And you said it was coming out next week. You mean the demo, right?
Yes, yes. What you see here
will be out next year.
Yes, that's correct.
Yes, but the most important question is, can you kill people?
Well, there's some messed up stuff that happens pretty soon.
Dig it. All over.
Oh, yeah. Actually, let me show you some of what we're doing. We got we're working on a scene right now, which is nearly done. We're waiting to get the music in. But
There's a few more 3D shots that I have to implement into it.
I think that's it. Yes, we don't understand why comics can't take this approach, because essentially we've been working on Crimson Legacy as a comic book for 3 years. We've been online for 3 years. But I feel like the comic industry they want to just stay inside the box, and they don't want to try new approaches like this. And so, you know, we were pretty much just out there doing our own thing.
Actually, some of the top illustrators for Image Comics probably make about 15 grand a year.
Let's see, I'm looking for this.
So is this, like, linear like one direction?
You know, no, it's totally, it's nonlinear.
We're going to make it open. You could go back. You could do stuff out of order. There's certain things, like if you get something here, it'll affect something there. But you don't have to necessarily get that before you could get this.
That's good, because I really hate games where if you miss touching that doorknob and you don't see that fingerprint, then you don't know the monster's fixing to chop your head off.
So what is Sierra doing?
Laying off people mostly.
Nice. We'll talk to you after the show.
I mean, whatever happened to Babylon 5, that's what I want to know.
Babylon 5 is, and once the series was over, everybody thought that there was no interest in it.
But the series was made to finish.
Right.
Okay. This is fine. This is it. I can't find it. That's what I'm looking for. I don't know. If you'd like, I mean, that's something that could be implemented. It was. I'd like for you to play along the storyline that I have created. But if you want that, then you know, I mean, that's the thing about us is that we're totally open to people logging into our message board or guest book. And if you guys would like to see something like that, then we'd be totally into implementing it. There's enough demand, of course.
But they're not going to listen to whiners, so it's only you positive people.
Yeah.
But I want to do that.
No.
He's looking at me like he's going to kill me now.
That's cool. We have this. You guys just log into our site next week. You'll be able to find everything. I can't find the Sphinx scene that we got.
I guess we'll continue some of it on our next forum, Gathering of the Guilds. So.
Thanks, everybody. Thanks. It's good to meet you. Hope to see you again next year.
Yeah.
I like the gaming fridge.
Well, I do this one every year.
Is this time for site plugs?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, by the way.
WTFman.com.
It rules.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is he going to kill me if I go there?
No.
No, but it's the coolest graphics I've ever seen. Okay.